Hey, everybody. Jake here. I just wanted to, before we get into this episode, I just wanted to let you know about a special offer from svslearn.com. So in celebration of Inktober, which is happening right now, you can get 30 days free of the subscription to SVS Learn. This includes the four inking classes that they offer. It's How to Ink, How to Ink 2.0, brush pen, using a brush pen with Peter Hahn, and then I have a new, brand new inking demo that I've done there, which I go through my tips as you ink along with me. We ink like the same drawing together. It's kind of cool. So check that out. What you're going to do is go to svslearn.com/Inktober to claim your 30 days for free. And I hope you enjoy it. And let's get into the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to 3-Point Perspective, the podcast about illustration, how to do it, how to make a living at it, and how to make an impact in the world with your art. I'm Jake Parker.
I'm Lee White.
And I'm Will Terry. And all three of us are professional illustrators and have been working for about the last 25 years with just about every major publisher and publication in the business. We've published, we figure, somewhere over 100 books together, and we've all taught illustration at the university level.
Each week, we're going to come at you guys with a different topic. Sometimes we're going to argue. Sometimes we're going to agree. But each week, you will learn something amazingly fascinating and new.
And each week, we will read this intro.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't read it today.
I do not read it anymore. Will's the only one that's on the screen.
I've been the longest one.
I haven't memorized that.
Yeah.
How about next time we switch?
I'm Jake Parker.
I could switch. I could do any. Will, all you have to say is that we have taught. We've done a bunch of books and we taught something.
All right. I'm going to add lib next time.
No. Will's got, no. You got to read.
I'm going off script.
The way that it works is I introduce what the podcast is. Will introduces our credentials, and Lee introduces what we do on the podcast.
See, there's a method to the madness. All right, let's get to it. We're having a meeting now. All of a sudden, our listeners are like, what's...
All right. Let's just get right down into it. Nobody cares about what we're working on or needs an update.
Nobody.
It doesn't change much when we podcast regularly, so...
It's true.
Everybody's doing the same old thing.
Same old
thing. All right, what... Will, it's your topic today. Let's have it. Let's lead us down this path.
Well, I got a letter... A lot of my topics are informed by letters that I get from listeners. And this one, I'm just going to read it and then introduce the topic. So, Will, I really enjoyed the session. What I found most interesting was the comments on technique versus content. Discussion on what makes an image emotional. I feel I tend to overcomplicate or focus on rendering while missing emotion. I would love to see more of the early composition emotion process prior to rendering. Also, I tend to love a sketch at night. Love to sketch at night, hate it until the next day. Any thoughts about your process concerning rework and revisiting how you plan for this workflow, especially? So I don't need to read that last part, but right. Basically I felt like we would just call this one creating a great concept for your illustration. And the reason for that is this letter by John is not unique in that, we've gotten a lot of letters about creating a good concept, creating a good, idea for an illustration, but also this is also a good time to introduce the fact that we do a competition on our forums at svslearn.com. Mm-hmm. And we are doing that once a month, and the topic is in the forums. We've talked about it here on the podcast before, but one thing that we noticed this last two times we've critiqued those images in Critique Arena is what it's called, where the three of us get together and we critique the competition images that are submitted in the forum. And one of the main things we noticed was the problems that the most of our comments or most of our critiques were towards the concept. Mm-hmm. And the problem is if you don't start with a really good concept, it's hard to critique the image because everything is wrong. It's like,
right.
It would be maybe a good metaphor would be, you know, when you build a house, you start with the concrete, the foundation, and then you build the frame. Mm-hmm. And then you put I'm not a contractor, but then you put the drywall.
Drywall.
Here we go.
Drywall on. You build a roof, shingles. Right. siding. So
if the concrete were messed up somehow, or if the, more importantly, if the framing was crooked, it doesn't matter how good the paint is. It doesn't matter how expensive the carpet is. You have crooked walls, mm-hmm. and you can't fix that with cosmetics. So I felt like this was a really good topic to dive into for us to kind of put our heads together on what the main problems are we see with concepts where people go wrong. I have some examples that I want to share, and then hopefully you guys have some examples that you guys can share or make comments on what I'm doing, and also maybe share your process for coming up with a good concept. So to dive right in,
Hey, can I derail you for 1 second?
Yeah.
I want to address that just real quick. That second part of the question that they, when you were reading off the letter, when the person was saying, I really hate my sketches. I sketch at night and I really hate that. I want to gloss over that. I just want to hit that really quick. If you guys are sketching and it's in a sketchbook, it's not for something specific, or if you're just kind of getting a project rolling, whatever, and you're working in your sketchbook, the way to get around beating yourself up is to think of them as thinkings, not drawings yet. Mm-hmm. It sounds kind of goofy, but that's what I do. It's like I don't hold myself to a drawing standard when I'm just kind of messing with stuff. I don't even really know what it is. You're trying to kind of pull it out of the ether. You know, it just seems like a, like trying to recall a dream almost when you're first sketching something. And so you give yourself the pass that you're, it's not about how it looks. It's just about getting something there that wasn't there before. And if you just give yourself, just say that it's a thinking and not a drawing yet, all that drawing pressure goes away and you can just make a book. You can even have a book that's just dedicated to being sort of ugly. And it's, there's such a freedom that comes from that. I can't even tell you how nice it is to sketch and not worry about the sketch looking good. And so so hopefully that can help some of you guys if you get stuck in that little thing.
That's a really good point, because I feel like I get stuck in that too, where it's like, what's the point of drawing my sketchbook if I can't post it on Instagram, you know? Like,
I got to nail it.
it has to be a good enough drawing to post on Instagram. And that has taken away the joy of my sketchbook from me from time to time, you know, because there's too much pressure there. So I would definitely co-sign on that one, Lee. And I want to add too, a friend of mine sent me a link to the Sargent sketches that have surfaced. I don't know if they've always been publicly known or the internet just discovered them now, but someone cobbled together a bunch of these sketches from Sargent's sketchbook, and they're fine. They're not masterpieces. They look like someone's just screwing around, like, I got a sketch today. And it made me, like, it really made me feel good that all we see of Sargent is the stuff hanging in galleries, you know, that have been paid, you know, someone paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars to, or I don't know how much original Sargent went for, but he was commissioned to do these things and he spent months on them. And rarely do you see, you know, the day-to-day just meanderings of his pencil on a piece of newsprint. So that was really cool.
You got to be careful. The quote I'll give you guys for that is, you got to be careful with comparing somebody's finished piece to your starting piece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that they're not the same thing.
Right, right. Or someone's masterpiece to your, you know, where you're at today. You know, the best thing to compare yourself to is what you were doing last year. You know, look at the art you did last year and see if you've improved. That's the person you need to be comparing to. All right.
One of the biggest things that I learned over time is that visual thoughts, which is what I think you're talking about, Lee, your visual thoughts are very different from drawing.
Right.
You know, and delaying the drawing is so important to, you know, and that's what we want to do. That's why we got into this, is because we love drawing. Mm-hmm. But if you're really going to, and this goes right to the heart of what today's topic is, if you're really going to have a good illustration, it has to have a great concept. And the drawing, the problem with drawing is you put value on paper. Once you put value down on paper, you don't want to move away from it. You don't want to throw it away. You don't want to edit it. You don't want to, you know what I mean? Right. And so the problem comes where you know, you've put value down that's maybe got a bad or an undeveloped concept, and now you're locking yourself into something stupid just because you spent time on it.
Right.
You've got to spend time on the thinking part. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So Let's see. So one of the main challenges I think that we have as illustrators is that we just have too many options. So we start with a blank piece of paper. And it, again, if you gave the same illustration assignment to 100 or 1,000 illustrators that are professional illustrators, you would get a lot of really good solutions. A lot. Mm-hmm. And so there are just endless possibilities, and that's what makes it so difficult. But what we're going to try to do is give you some ideas on how you can better narrow in. And you know, we're going to use some of the images. And the challenge with the podcast is I will have to describe what I'm seeing so that you can create a visual image of what's going on, because we're not showing this. We are, however, on YouTube, but it's just our talking heads. So, so I'm just going to go through some of these, and you guys feel free to interrupt and interject. And if you can think of any examples yourself, then I would love to hear them. I'm probably missing some with my list, but anyway, I'm just going to go for it. So,
Let's hear it.
Our last competition, the challenge was, quote, "When summer vacation goes wrong," unquote. So it was to illustrate that idea that when summer goes wrong, and that's the pool of illustrations that we noticed problems with concepts through the whole thing. Did you want to say something, Jake? It looked like you were.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what if just structurally for this podcast, what if us three gave what we would want to do for that, and then talk about what we got in the return? Is that kind of how you want to do that? I'm curious, like, what Will Terry would have done for that assignment.
Oh gosh, I haven't even thought of it.
And how you like how would you attack that assignment?
Well, okay, so that actually does speak to one of the things on my list, which is knowing your audience. So maybe I'll start with that one, even though I had that one towards the bottom. These are in no particular order.
Oh, okay.
So knowing your audience, to me, when summer vacation goes wrong. So, and I would love to get your guys' input on this. To me, people respond to and I didn't really know how to articulate this, so maybe you can help me. But I feel that this assignment is going to speak to more people if it's humorous rather than serious. What do you guys think?
The thing, knowing your audience, I think when you enter an SVS Learn contest, we're all doing illustration in the vein of children's books or for a all ages type of audience. And so you could do like sad, you could do, you know, like something super upsetting, but I think humor is something that resonates with kids and doesn't bum people out. So I think that's a safe bet, but that might be a little bit more in the box than what, you know, what everybody else, or that might be along what everybody else would want to do. And if you want to be out of the box, or if you want to really push, you know, push that to the edge of and do something that's different, you might think, okay, my first initial gut reaction is humor. What would be a macabre version of this? Or what would be, you know, a very, you know, what's the angry version of this? Something like that.
I guess what I'm noticing here, there's one example of a family that's sitting outside of, or standing on the beach, and their boat is burning to the ground. And there's a kid roasting marshmallows, which is a little bit of a humorous thing in there.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know. To me, it was, and maybe this is a personal preference, but I see none of us really gravitated towards that image in picking it to critique or to talk about. And my suspicion is that because it's too painful in a way. It's like, you know, like that would be horrible. The end. There wasn't really a lot more, you know what I mean? Like, whereas some of them were, ironic or funny, or like the one that you picked where there was this shark, this giant shark coming out of the ground and kind of Tremor style, you know, it was more fantastical.
Very surreal.
Surreal, fantasy. Over the top. Very interesting because it was something that we had never seen before. I don't feel like I've ever seen that image before. a boat, a family boat or a car or an RV burning to the ground is just something you hope you never see. The end.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It just didn't.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I normally don't use humor. I'm trying to think if I gravitate towards humor because I wasn't in the judging portion of last month, so I didn't get to see all of them that you guys were kind of mulling through for to pick. But I never really kind of go for comedy as my first go to. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I would pick that either. I'm trying to think of how influenced I am by what I do versus what I'm kind of looking at. But I mean, I would say that's first step, know your audience. I kind of flip that on its head when I'm starting concepting, and I say, what, not knowing my audience, but what does my audience know? In other words, what do they expect? Like, kind of sort of like what Jake was saying, like that kind of like National Lampoon's Vacation is kind of the theme that you get for a lot of those, like What Went Wrong Last Summer. That's sort of that whole movie franchise, right? With Chevy Chase. It's kind of all of that. I don't necessarily know if that's where I would go first. I mean, that's like kind of a low-hanging fruit, in my opinion. I probably would have gone a different direction, I think. And that's why, that, like what you were saying about the land shark, that's all of a sudden, it's sort of that, but then it's pushed so much further that the audience doesn't anticipate that, and all of a sudden now there's a reaction. I mean, my whole thing is, how am I going to get some kind of reaction at all? Right. You know, it's almost like you can't do this, you know, what's been done before is always my starting point. What does the audience know or what do they expect? And then get past that.
We got on this particular assignment, we got no less than 10 dealing with families going camping and bears or forest animals like taking over, right?
Taking like, the food.
Well, let's talk about that. Is that too clear? So are you saying that went a little too expected because so many people just kind of grabbed onto it? Obviously, that was a low-hanging fruit as a concept.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know because you don't know what everybody else is going to do. So you might think, let's see, family vacation. What's a family vacation? Camping. Okay, and what could go wrong camping? Well, animals, right? So I feel like that's stage one, like thinking maybe. The other thing would be like, for me, if I were to sit down and this was my assignment and that's all I had was be as creative as you want to be with a family vacation gone wrong. What I typically try to do is, and I've gotten this on other assignments before where it's like, well, what do I want to draw? And let's see if I can shoehorn that into the assignment. Right. And so for me, you know, I much prefer drawing creatures and animals versus just stock humans. Right. Or humans. Fantastical environments and fantastic situations versus like normal suburban things. Mm-hmm. So what I might do is mix those two things together. I'll take a normal suburban environment, but I'll throw in, you know, the monster family vacation and they've got a flat tire or something like that. Or I'll take a normal family and stick them on the moon. You know, it's their vacation to the moon and now they're dealing with, you know, moon beings, rock monsters that are coming out trying to like sabotage their picnic or something like that.
Right.
And so that's basically my approach to any assignment is, what are my interests? What do I like drawing? What am I good at drawing? And then how can I turn the assignment into something that's gonna benefit me? And I've been doing that since high school, getting it, even since junior high in art class. Like, I don't want to draw the still life. You know, what can I do to like turn this still life into something that's interesting to me? And so that's sort of my approach. Now, know your audience. Will, I think, is a good thing. If it's a contest, if it's an art director that you're working with for an assignment, then I think you go and you ask a few more questions or you do a little bit more research. So you know, okay, Will Terry's going to be judging this art contest. I've looked at all Will's stuff. He loves humor. So I'm going to make something funny because I know that'll appeal to Will, right? Or if the primary judge was me, they would say, well, Jake likes robots, so I'm going to figure out how to fit a robot into this drawing, right?
Now, do you do that with your clients? You don't do that with your clients, do you?
Well, so that's the thing. If it is a client, if you're working with an art director, I will press them and say, what are you wanting here? Are you wanting really straight-laced, like by the book. This is a family on a vacation to the beach or camping or to Disneyland. Or can we go, can we push things a little bit farther? And if they come back and say, you know, we really want it by the book, and really where we want your creativity is less on the concept and more on the execution of rendering, you know, then you know what you're working with. Mm-hmm. But I think for, so I think that's part of knowing your audience is just seeing where, what is the box that you have to play in, and see how creative you can be inside that box. Yeah. Or if possible, if you can step outside of it.
I used to always tell my students, I would much rather you go too far and let me wrangle you back. Mm-hmm. Then you just be in the box and me having to say, well, what is there something more interesting? Is there something more interesting? Yeah. You know, and rarely have I had students go as far as they probably could have if they knew they had that kind of creative license. Right. They really do. I just thought of kind of what I would do for that assignment. I didn't see all of the entries, like I was saying a few minutes ago. So I want to run my concept past you guys and see if there was any.
Well, now you know we don't want bears and camping trips.
Oh, never mind then. Bear.
You know, before... Something that I just realized, though, is that we're comparing, you, like Jake, you were just comparing this to assignment work, mm-hmm. working with an art director. Mm-hmm. Well, we gave them, you know, basically, you know, summer vacation gone wrong was the concept, mm-hmm. which is an idea fragment. It's mm-hmm. not a story. And right. we were relying on our students to tell the rest of the story. And as a prompt, mm-hmm. We don't necessarily want to be constrained really tight with a really detailed story, because we want our students to also learn how to write. So it is more difficult, in my opinion, to do this than it is to get a really specific
the full
assignment.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to hear what Lee's idea is.
Yeah. So my idea, I'm sticking with kind of what you did, Jake, is like, okay, if I'm going to do camping, how do I push that? And so that's kind of what I was mulling over my head just a minute ago. So I would like to see one, if camping is my theme and it's for this assignment, you got to push it or whatever. I'd like to see a family of campers or whatever, a couple of people camping, and the whole environment being lifted up and moved on a giant turtle. Or some kind of, like, you know what I mean? Like the whole landmass that they're camping on is a living thing. Anybody do that?
No, that really is kind of surreal and interesting. So it's like, this is the perfect spot. Let's pitch our tents and everything's in place and set up. And then this turtle is like,
the whole thing just kind of lifts up or whatever, but they might not even be aware of it, which would be another.
Right. Cause they would wake up in a different environment in the morning and that would be the kind of beginning to this adventure.
Yeah. Maybe. That's cool. I like that. You win.
Oh, cool. I just wondered if anybody did it, because that could be, maybe that's a, I never know when I'm concepting, like, is this super obvious or is it how something will be taken? So I always like that. Our current contest, by the way, if anybody's interested, is superstitions. And I have literally no idea how people are going to interpret that. I always wait to look and see what the entries are until, like, everybody's already, you know, put their stuff up.
Illustrate a superstition.
The topic is superstitions, however that falls for you. I mean, it could be somebody who's violating a superstition, you know what I mean? Like going against what the superstition says. It could be kind of a listing kind of thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea how people are going to even interpret that as a subject matter, but it's so vague that I'm interested to see. Because you got to, I think, to see the word superstition and think, look, that's my concept. Well, you got to dig a lot deeper than that, because you can't just, okay, here's a black cat. Well, that's a superstition, but is that interesting? Not at all.
Well, and that's the key word, interesting. And that's my problem with some of the ones that we got was, to me, your boat or car burning down, it's pretty much on the nose. I mean, it's there to, you know, and so... I think maybe instead of humorous, I'm looking for something more interesting. Maybe that's a better way to describe it.
So how would you approach family vacation gone wrong, Will? Like, what would be your...
I would look for a really interesting problem and solve it.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I would come up with a story, you know, like, so I went camping over the weekend and I had engine problems and my truck had to be towed back home. Boring.
Oh, no.
Right. But it's boring when I tell the story. It's like, we had engine trouble. We pulled off to the side of the road. We called a tow truck. Luckily, we had AAA, and we got the truck towed back home. And then we salvaged our trip by modifying and going to different places than we had originally planned because we didn't have a four-wheel drive anymore. It's a boring story, but there are a lot of stories that I have that I'm not going to tell, the things that have happened. And I would look for a really interesting story, not that one. You know, like it, maybe what would have been more interesting is if, you know, I don't know, some other family on vacation pulled over to help us. And then one of the kids that was with us fell in love with the girl in just that little time that we were together on the side of the road. And then they started texting each other and developed this relationship or something, you know, like something more that wouldn't have solved this assignment. But I don't know. I'm looking for more to the story.
But no, I like what you're doing is you're definitely not to the point where you're going to sit down and illustrate, but what your thought process is, what just digging it deeper and deeper, like going through those layers of imagination sedimentary and just trying to find, you know, that diamond down there somewhere. That's like, this is the thing that I'm going to illustrate. So yeah. So maybe you're thinking, okay, you know, it could be like, two lovebirds falling in love and the parents don't want them to do that. Like that's totally, you know, not what they're expecting on vacation, but still you're going to dig deeper than that. You're going to be like, well, what if, you know,
they're going to the same place.
Yeah. They're going to the same place and, or they bring their dog with them. You know, now you're thinking, well, who'd they bring with them? They got their dog and now the dog's falling in love with another dog and maybe, you know, the dog got pregnant or something, you know, who knows, but so, I like what your mode is. It's not sufficient to just go with that surface level idea.
Right. Right.
I love that little gap. My internet connection went down. So I was gone for, you know, 30 seconds while whatever you guys are talking about, I left talking about a breakdown on the side of the road. And when my internet came back, you're talking about pregnant dogs on the freeway or something. I don't know what happened. I can only imagine what happened when I was gone.
Okay, all right. So Will, what's on your list?
Okay,
what
are other things? Here's another one is TMI. So this is a problem that so many illustrators have when they start out is, we over-illustrate. We have our story, and we start telling other stories that aren't important because we include details that aren't important. And there's a fine line between you can have a very complicated illustration. I actually made a class called Draw 50 Things on svslearn.com, where the whole goal is to overcomplicate your illustration, but with design principles that are taught in that class. Simplify it back down to the original story. So you can tell a lot of secondary and tertiary stories, but they have to be a distant secondary, distant tertiary. They can't be competing. And one of the problems that a lot of beginning illustrators have is they're telling two equal or even three equal stories at the same time. And it is so confusing to the reader. And so that's another thing that happens. And I saw that and not that one wasn't as prominent. And I think the reason for that is a lot of our students have really learned a lot. It's pretty obvious when I look at a lot of the illustrations that there's a lot of learning that's taken place.
But they still do the same. I mean, yeah, it comes that comes across in a couple of different things. Trying to include too many storylines is definitely one. But along those same lines, trying to include too many focal points, too many light sources,
right,
too many of almost everything, well, the art ingredients or the concept ingredients. You really got to, I think, simplify things down and know what story am I trying to tell? Where's my focal point? How, and you know, what needs the attention and what doesn't need the attention. Will's holding up a book for some reason. Why is there a reason you're holding up a book?
I'm holding up the Lane Smith, John Sheska book. The True Story of the Three Little Pigs, because I think Lane Smith was a master. I was thinking about this book today when I was thinking about this topic, and you won't be able to see this on the podcast, obviously, but the premise of the story, it's the true story of the three little pigs, is it's a fractured fairy tale. And the idea is that the wolf was misunderstood the whole time, and he just had a cold, and he was going around trying to get a cup of sugar for his old dear granny. And
the pigs are jerks.
And the pigs are jerks because he just happened to want a cup of sugar, and then he sneezed and knocked their house down, and they thought that he was trying to blow their house down to eat them, but he really wasn't. It was just an accident. But in the book, he has simplified some of the illustrations down to just the sneeze, just the sneezes, you know?
Oh, he's got one illustration in there where there is a pig hiding in the middle of the spread, and it's just the pig's butt. And that's all he drew. It's only brown ground and a butt sticking up.
Oh, this one right here?
Yeah. It's so amazing. I love that spread.
And he says in there, her writing is hilarious. He's like, you know, well, that poor pig just died because the house imploded around him. But, you know, I had to eat him because it was like a perfectly good ham sandwich just going to waste if I didn't, you know. but look at how simple. And so that part of the concept of over illustrating, like, this is what's important. This is what's in there.
I mean, there's nothing else. There's no mountains in the background. There's no trees. There's no house. There's no debris. It's just like some straw, a pig's butt, and the wolf. And that's it. It's amazing, actually.
And the same thing, I love to use this example. This is actually, you know, where I'm holding up Where the Wild Things Are by Mari Sendak. And this is actually the copy that survived our kids. You can see. Wow. There's a lot of tape on the cover. Yeah, it's been taped back together, pieced back together.
Frankenstein.
Because I'm too cheap to buy it again. So now it's in my collection. But it's also, you know, the love that's been put into it, you know, the torn pages and stuff.
That's good.
It's just awesome. But this is another great example of how simple. I mean, like, it's a bedroom and there's not a ton of toys on the floor. It's like he wanted to say, this is Max. He's introducing Max. He's introducing the environment, and that's it. You know, and the emotion. You know, Max got sent to his room. We've all been sent to our room before. And so you get that little unhappy face, that little angry face. Like,
Right. He's staring at the door.
Right.
Like, and that's the thing, too, is it's just enough information. If he was staring down at his feet, it would send a different message, but he's turning his head slightly and he's staring at the door. You know he's mad at his mom.
Right. And so there's nothing cluttering that concept. You get it right away. And so that is your job. Just remember that. As an illustrator, your job is to communicate as fast and effectively as possible. What you're trying to avoid is not to give your viewer a riddle, a visual riddle, right? You don't want to give your viewer an assignment to decipher what you're trying to say. Right. It shouldn't be their job to figure it out.
And that reminds me of that one where it's the outdoor restaurant at the campsite.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cooking the guy, right? Like, that was a visual riddle where we're looking at him. It's a nice illustration, but we couldn't quite figure it out. It's this outdoor restaurant. I'll illustrate it verbally for you guys. And there's all these animals sitting down, and there's, you know, there's an animal that's cooking this guy over on a spit, right? And off in the corner, far off in the corner, is a little tent with a rifle leaning up against it. And that's when you realize, and then there's a little sign that says, "Today's special, crossed out rabbit, it's Hunter."
You have a really good memory.
We'll just put it up there. But I didn't remember the sign, but I do remember that the tent was far off in the corner. Anyway, again, the rendering was great. The composition, pretty good. This is definitely the type of illustration you would see in a Highlights magazine or Ranger Rick or something like that. And a kid could really like dig in and look at everything. But as far as getting the joke or getting the intent of it, like, it could have been much better to put that tent of the hunter next to the hunter, and they're cooking him like right outside his tent. And so immediately understand, oh, this guy went hunting and now we're turning the tables on him. We're going to eat him instead of him eat us. Right. And then you wouldn't have to decipher it. I think that's a really good point is don't have so much information that you can't decipher what the intent of the story is.
Yeah. I think that illustration would actually function better as a fine art piece in some ways, because the goal could be to use your art to give your viewer a riddle, like a Where's Waldo, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's an activity, and that illustration was more of an activity. So there's a place for it, but probably not as much in a illustration where you're trying to.
So I think editing, though, it always comes down to editing, right? Is you have the idea of cooking this hunter, and then that's the first illustration you come up with is all these different animals and stuff. But then the first time I would draw that, I'd be like, whoa, that is way too busy. And then, I mean, you can get the same concept. Like Jake said, you move the tent closer, but what if you also started editing out the animals? I mean, do we need every animal in the forest sitting down, getting ready to eat this hunter? Or is it enough to really just have the hunter over the fire? You could have like three animals, like a pack of wolves or a couple of raccoons or something that have him on the thing. It's the same concept. Now we don't have a bird in the background. We don't have all this stuff. Be a little, probably a little bit more elegant of an illustration. And then you could start to control your lighting a little bit because now there's a focal point and we don't need all this other stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the next?
You know, and while I'm doing this, I might also mention that we teach all of this in our children's book class at SVN.
That's right.
How to illustrate
children's books. That's right. I was thinking this.
Yeah,
this podcast is like this episode is like a mini version of one of our children's book.
Right.
Things. It's true. So one thing, let me talk to that last point one more time. Just one little thing that I give my students in class, I'd like to go over here, is that when we're doing illustration, the problem that illustrators have that photographers don't have is we can keep going back in space and adding infinite detail as we go back. And that you see that problem rear its head when somebody starts doing perspective, and they always get that assignment to do like the city view, you know, looking straight down the city. And there's little windows in the background, and they're all just as detailed as the windows in the foreground. Well, if you took a camera and shot that same city scene, there would be like two windows that would be in focus. And by the time you got, you know, 50 feet away from the viewer, all the windows would be blurry or not even, they would barely be showing up, maybe just little toned squares or something. There wouldn't be trim on the windows. And so I always tell my students to act like a camera. Like if you're going to focus on one thing, all the rest of the stuff can't be in focus in the same way. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really difficult to learn to paint blurry.
You know, it is, or to imply detail without drawing detail. Absolutely.
And so I know that there's something that you guys do, is you will probably alter the camera position or angle. And when I say camera, there's not a physical camera. I've had students go,
where's this camera?
We're talking about your point of view.
The POV.
The POV, right. Yeah. So you're altering that so that you can avoid having to paint tons of tiny blurry details. And, you know, so you really need to become a student of professional illustrators to see how they're handling the problems that you're having. And do that kind of a thing. Okay, another one would be inappropriate content. And I just noticed that, like, and it's not necessarily, okay, so there's one illustration where there was a girl, I think it was a girl sitting on a toilet in there. And and it was funny because it was unexpected, because you don't often see people illustrated sitting on toilets. So it definitely jumped out at me right away. And I'm thinking, I don't know the person who illustrated it, and you know, maybe it was just, you know, funny to them, but I'm thinking if you're gearing your portfolio towards a children's book portfolio or even a comic book portfolio, there's certain things that you just like that, like I think that same illustration could have been done because it's full figure sitting on the toilet. if it is funny, and if it is taking place in the bathroom, if the story is legit, you know, maybe headshot where you can definitely see that they're sitting and that they're in a bathroom, but not like pants down around
ankles. I actually think that, so the gag there with that one, or the story there was vacation gone wrong. They ate something bad and now that person is having diarrhea on the toilet, right? Which that happens on vacations. And I think that was the only one that kind of approached that sort of aspect of a vacation gone bad. But
I would choose to illustrate, I'm going to cut you off right there.
Yeah.
I would illustrate that with the person, you know, the restaurant with the bathroom and the person running for the bathroom or something, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say is there's actually a film called The Prestige. Uh-huh. It's about magic. And one of the things that film like tackles, and really the whole film is a metaphor for storytelling and for filmmaking. Mm-hmm. That's why I love that movie so much. And one of the things that they talk about is you can show a magic trick like point blank and just like have people see it and still not be very impressed. And the key to like a true showmanship and magicianship isn't so much the magic trick as the story that you're telling with the magic trick. Mm-hmm. So they have this, this trick where it's the reappearing man. He goes into one door and he comes out another door, right? And he teleports between the two doors. That's the magic trick. And the way that this one magician, it's this competing magicians, right? Going back and forth, trying to like sell out to different crowds. Really cool movie. Kind of hard to follow a little bit because the story's cut up a little bit, but I love this movie, mm-hmm. especially what it has to say about storytelling. But this one magician, they bounce a ball. And so they go into one door, they bounce the ball, they go into one door, they come out, the other person catches the ball. That's great. It kind of tells a little bit of a story, like what's going to happen to this ball. The other magician sees that and he's like, I'm going to one-up it. I'm going to do this even better. And just takes this, the theatrics to this, to the next level. And I won't go into the details. I don't want to spoil the movie for you, but you have the same kind of thing going on here. You have this magic trick, right? Or this joke. And what it is the person got diarrhea. They ate something bad. They got diarrhea. And you could just point blank show it. Like, here they are. They are on the toilet. You could even go into a POV from inside the toilet, right?
Oh, man. Like, don't get it visual. Wow.
You could just nail it right on the head.
Make it on the podcast.
But I think the best storytellers let the story happen in between the panels. Or, and this goes a little bit against what we were saying last, where there's too much information. This is, you want to have enough information that you tell a story, not too much information, but then also hold it back a little bit so that some of that story is a little bit decipherable. So like what Will is saying, when you have the person running to the bathroom, you're starting to fabricate the rest of the story in your head. And that is great for our brains because we love going A plus B equals C. Mm-hmm. Ah, I get C, right? Or the way that I would have done it is you would have the closed door to the stall and the mom on the outside, and she's talking to the girl on the inside, and you know, is everything all right? Are you going to be okay? And so you do have to do just a little bit like, oh, I see what's going on here, without like the gory details, right? So that's that level. I think though, there's this fine line between making sure it's not too much of a riddle that it takes too long to just mm-hmm. you know, to decipher it, and just enough so that you can. There's a little bit of play with your brain and with your imagination, so that your imagination picking up some of the slack and showing you everything, like showing you too much information.
Right. I like it.
Yeah, you gotta. Let me just add one little thing to that. You know, once you have your gag, like you guys are talking about, there's a million little time frames that go with the gag, and you can almost go back, like with this one, going to the bathroom's the end. The whole concept is based on bad food, right? So there's even, you can go back far enough where it's even the chef picking out the ingredients or what the chef is cooking, how they're serving it, the person eating it, the result of the person back, eating it.
Maybe the chef didn't wash his hands, so it's a yeah. three panels. I don't know.
Yeah, but the idea is bad food, right? I mean, it's rotting food. And then there's so many illustratable moments along that little timeline. I agree with Jake, because you got to look and see, okay, the logical end is diarrhea, but there's so many points in there. It's like, where do you want to, what is the most rich point of for illustration? It's not going to be the one sitting on the toilet.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Next one was unnatural physics. So in other words, you know, you have, this earth is ruled by the laws of physics. And uh-huh. if you don't understand the, how to illustrate certain actions, you're laughing.
I just think it's funny that you're taking this one. You're going there.
Uh-huh. So basically what I'm seeing in some of these, and there's one in particular where there's a picnic and there's a storm coming and it's blowing all the items from the picnic away, but they're not being blown in a direction that's logical. The blanket the picnic blanket that they're on, or the I guess it's a blanket, is so rigid and stiff it doesn't look like a fabric anymore. You know, it's not waving.
Can you share your screen? Do you have it pulled up?
You know what I thought I was going to, and then I realized that since we're kind of critiquing these for the negative, it might not be good to just show them.
Okay.
On YouTube. So
good point.
So I'm thinking, yeah, let's err on the side of not doing that. But basically,
he's gonna go find the folder afterwards. Yeah.
I mean, you have.
Well, it's not a mean critique. It's just a critique that somebody can use. And so I would think these people would be like, oh, cool. That's how I can fix my illustration.
I would too. Yeah.
So what you're saying in this one, the concept's actually kind of good. Like, there's a picnic.
Yeah, the concept's good. Or it's a storm that's blowing away.
Storm is coming.
And it can be really humorous. And there are some humorous things in there. Like, there's a kid holding on to the dog, and the dog's trying to get blown away. But even the way that was done, I would use the leash. I would just do a lot of things differently. Because it does, you have to figure out what's happening. It looks, you don't realize right away that it's a picnic blanket. It looks stiff and rigid like a board, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm just basically speaking.
There's wrinkles in there, you know.
Yeah, you've got to convey. You have to remember that in order to convey the story, which is the most important thing, you're gonna have to obey the laws of physics,
And I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think there too, like, this herein lies the problem every illustrator has, no matter how seasoned an illustrator you are, is that your vision exceeds your ability a lot of times. So there's things like, I mean, I'm at this stage now in my career where I could pretty much draw whatever I imagine, but there's still areas where I'm just fumbling, and it might be the composition's great, but my lighting's off. And it's just not lit the way that I really wanted it to be lit.
Right.
And so this might be one of those things where it's like a brilliant, like really engaging idea, but then they just can't, like they don't understand how to draw wrinkles and folds in a fabric. They don't understand how to draw a particular character instead of just a standing pose and like being flipped upside down pose. And so that's,
so like are you referring to the concept then, or are you referring to the application of rendering that concept? Is that what you're saying, Will? Because those are two different things. In my opinion, this is what you're saying is falling under technique now.
And drawing, yeah, it's hitting a lot of those different aspects.
But you're saying the concept's okay, but your topic today is concept, right? So there's nothing wrong with this particular concept.
True.
So maybe,
but the concept's getting muddled because you don't understand it based on the drawing.
So maybe this is, instead of unnatural physics, maybe it's draw, play to your strengths.
Draw right.
Play to your strengths.
Don't draw wrong.
No, let's say play to your strengths. So if you can't effectively draw like a picnic getting blown away, switch ideas. Find an idea that where your drawing ability lines up with your concept ability.
What if you don't know that you're not conveying the concept because you're beginning and you think you are?
Mm-hmm. So there's a great thing you could do there, and that is show a professional or show another artist. And if you go to our SVS Learn forums,
wow,
post your artwork on there before submitting it. Just post it on there and say, hey, can I get some feedback?
Yeah.
And even if another student looks at it, and they might not be any better than you are, they might be able to point out, oh, well, this is a little off. I don't know how to fix this, but I know that's a little off. And then the other thing is, we have classes, like we have a class that just launched, how to do folds and wrinkles. We have a class called how to pose your character.
We have a class on picnic drawing.
We have a class how to draw a picnic drawing, picnic getting blown away. Wait, why didn't you go to that class? No.
No, what's interesting about the forum is that even sometimes, like you were saying, sometimes the people might not even be total pro level, but it's weird that they, you know, you start to gain the ability to see good illustration before you can actually do it. And so you get a lot of people who are kind of mid-level, but they can, if you post something, they can spot it easily. They're saying, hey, your perspective's off. They might not know how to fix it, but it's amazing how good people get at critiquing some of that stuff, and they pick it up almost immediately. You know, one of the things about physics and this idea of being blown away came up quite a bit in my – I just ran a book cover class with Jamie Zollers, and one of our options to pick was Wizard of Oz, and that was going to be a book cover. So a lot of people are playing with that tornado, you know, pulling the house up, pulling Dorothy up, you know, all kinds of stuff being pulled up by the tornado. And most people who – their first stab at that, all the items getting pulled up were still in their normal orientation. In other words, like if it was a dove, if it was Toto, the legs are down, the head is up. I mean, it's, there was a weird. I know once I saw enough of them, I was like, oh my gosh, everybody has a reluctance to want to have the body be higher than the head. And so that was one of the things. It's like, let's start flipping the orientation. And the second they started changing that orientation, the chaos level of those drawings went up. And they, you know, they're in the same spot, same drawing. All they did is grab them and rotate them around. Now the head's on the bottom and they're being sucked up, you know, upside down. It was amazing how different the illustration looked with that. And so little tips like that can change how something works. It wasn't even the drawing, it was just the orientation. Right. But you'd never know that if you didn't post it or get some kind of critique.
The other thing I guess where I was trying to take the initial thing where maybe your idea is better than your ability is one, okay, yeah, go show it around, see if there's things that you didn't realize you were doing that you could fix. But the other thing with this particular idea, yes, the idea is that a storm destroyed their picnic, but you don't have to show that happening. What might be more compelling is you draw a family sitting down for a picnic. Everything's perfect. Like the water cups are all filled, you know, mom's like cutting a watermelon, everything's perfect. But in the horizon, you see this storm coming. That might even be better than showing the actual moment. Like, now there's all this pent up like anxiety about what's going to happen. Like, they don't know it, but you know it as a viewer, and that might be a little bit more like just a better illustration, and it might play to your strengths a little bit better too. The other thing is maybe show after the fact. So now it's like the family, you know, all standing there just in their normal poses, and they're just kind of shoulders are slumped. And they're like, what do we do now? And it just looks like a bomb went off. like everything's strewn and you know, there's a chair upside down or a picnic table upside down. And maybe mom's wearing the picnic blanket and her head's just poking out, you know. And maybe like the dad's holding the dog and the dog's, you know, freaked out. And you realize, oh, a storm just went through here. Their picnic's ruined. So there's ways to still use your really good idea, but then have the drawing play to your strength. And I would say in storytelling, it's always better to show either before the thing is happening and allude to something that's going to happen, or show after it's happened. And you have to put the pieces together and realize, okay, you know, I know what just, you know, I could see what just happened and it wasn't good.
Right.
And instead of showing just the exact moment, it's so tempting to show like midpoint what is going on when that really doesn't do that much for you storytelling wise.
Right. Now, but isn't the bigger problem that they were drinking water at a picnic? I mean, that's a disaster.
What do you drink at a picnic?
It's not beer? Not water.
Root beer.
That's something else. All right.
Orange soda.
To keep us moving along, I'm going to move to the next one. How about unnatural character behaviors? So we got an illustration on this last one where you guys will probably remember it, or at least you will, Jake, where there's the kid that's got both of his arms are in a cast, and he's a baseball player, and he's looking down at the ball. And there's two kids in the background, one with a bat and one with a mitt. And he's got this big frown on his face because he can't pick up the ball because he's got casts on his arms. To me, that it took me out of the story because mathematics would have already been done in his brain to know not to even get on the field because his arms are in casts. So it's not like... He would be, in my world, he wouldn't be faced with that situation. He would already be sidelined. And I felt like it wasn't good storytelling.
So what would be a better alternative to that story? Maybe he's in his bedroom with a baseball, kind of looking out the window?
Something like that. Or if he's at the ballpark, the other kids are playing in the background, he's sitting there with a frown on his face because he can't go out. something where it's more, I feel more natural to the character, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that one sticking out too. The rendering
was great.
And he's actually that the guy, the illustrator, did our illustration for the last episode.
Yeah, it's amazing illustration. It's very pro.
Yeah. Good stuff. But yeah, it was just a weird thing to show. Like, he wouldn't suit up with two broken arms. He would be...
Good point.
You know, so I think what it would be is that's, you have the chain link fence, and he's on the other side of it, and it could be, you know, maybe a side view, and he's just bummed, and he's watching the kids, like, they're playing t-ball or baseball or whatever on the other side of that picket fence. So you even have, like, a visual wall between, not just the cast are enough, but there's, like, a visual, like, wall between him and what he wants to be doing or wishes he could do.
Yep. Okay. Here's another one. Inadvertently telling a different story. So you're set out to tell a story, and you think you're telling a story, but you end up telling a slightly different story. And that happens to all of us when we're learning how to illustrate. There's one that I can describe to you here where it's the same idea of that we talked about before with the family camping and the animals are taking the food away. But the position is that the family that's camping is a picture. This is in the background. So the main characters that we're talking about are in the background. The animals are more human-like and they're laughing. So they're not just disaster animals. You know, they're not like disaster animals. If there's such, have you guys ever been visited by disaster animals? They're wearing the backpacks and they're eating the food and they're laughing as they're running towards the viewer in the foreground. And so the story is actually about them. They really flipped it without realizing it, so that it's not summer went wrong. It's summer went right for these animals. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so...
I would argue that one. I'm going to push back since we do talk about disagreeing. I'm going to disagree on this one.
Push back.
Because that's the more interesting angle, in my opinion, is I'd rather see the animals as the foreground getting away. It's still about the, depending on your point of view.
I see everybody shaking their head, Lee.
It's still about, I mean, we're coming at it from a human point of view. So we still identify with the theme as a, you know, whatever, something disastrous happened last summer, whatever. Still going to identify like, oh, things went wrong for that family. But the more interesting illustration is the animals running with the backpacks and all that stuff. So I'm on board.
It is more interesting for sure.
Because if you flipped it around, now you just got a bummed out family and then you got a little raccoon running out with a backpack. You're like, what's going on back there?
I think.
Yeah, but I get what Will's saying, because there's another one where there's a bear, again, bears, and they're sitting in a house. So it's this family of bears in a house. And they're having a good time in this house. And then there's a window behind them that goes out to the front yard. And very tiny, off in the distance, you see a family just standing outside the house. So, again, it's like it's that sort of same sort of thing. Is it about the bears or is it about the family? Mm-hmm. And does it accurately show a vacation ruined? Or does it show... a bear having, you know, a bear family having, you know, the vacation of their lives. So I think as far as interesting, as far as like, you know, kind of engaging idea, yes, engaging idea. But as far as getting the actual subject matter or the topic, getting that prompt right, it's a little bit off. It's not, it doesn't show exactly like, there's too much gymnastics, mental gymnastics you have to do to understand, to fit it into seeing exactly that this family's vacation has gone wrong.
I disagree. I like it. I would have picked it.
All right.
You know what? Planned this episode that Lee would disagree with something just so that the bumper, the beginning of the podcast is accurate.
It's funny that we're talking about this particular kind of subject matter, because last night I saw the worst movie of all time. If you guys want to really look down this, the avenue of this animals and people interacting badly. There's a Brendan Fraser movie from like 2009, yikes, which is disaster. I don't know what it's called. It's like called, I don't even know, like Animals in the Woods or something, but it's him. He's a developer and all the animals want to stop him from developing this land. My kid watched it.
It's why we don't see Brendan Fraser anymore.
It is a disaster.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's this whole thing. So you guys can
film that watch killed it. His career.
Maybe
he had a couple of those in a row, and he's been disappeared.
It's a disaster.
Okay.
Anyway. Next thing you know, he'll be on Joe Rogan, like telling about how horrible his life was.
Well, Brooke Shields is in that movie too, and I'm like, how did they wrangle these people to be in this movie? That's so bad. Anyway,
you still get paid well. Even if it's a bad movie.
I don't care. If Kim going to give me $10 million, I wouldn't have done that movie. You could see it a mile away.
I disagree with you, Lee. $10 million, you would. Yeah. You'd run over there for $500,000.
Yep. Well, I would personally, because I'm not a movie star. I'm not trying to have a career. I'd be like, okay, it's free money. I don't care if people like me.
$50,000 for you, Lee.
I'd do it
okay,
for 20
bucks. If it was, let's say it was a $75,000 advance to illustrate the book of that movie.
Nope. I have turned down so many projects like that.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Hard pass.
My last one on my list is using a POV that doesn't describe the story. We kind of touched on this a little bit, but there's an illustration that came in with two kids. It's a top view, straight down, bird's eye view. Like not even at an angle, straight down. At a swimming pool, a circular swimming pool, and there's a crocodile in the pool, like floating on his back with sunglasses and like a drink or something. I think I should find it again.
What is this one called? This is
these images.
Yeah, he's got a drink. I'm sorry.
What's this one titled though? The do or don't of this?
Using a POV that doesn't describe the story. So basically, you can see the tops of these kids' heads, and they look to me, because of their cheeks and the way their eyes are squinty, like they're laughing. They look like, if I had to guess, they're happy. So it doesn't look like summer went wrong.
An alligator came.
Because the alligator's in the pool with a drink, with a straw, and sunglasses, and just floating on his back. So he's not a threat, but he is in the pool, and we can't tell that they want to get in the pool. Because they look like they're happy.
Right. So all this could have been fixed if the POV was down at like pool level.
Yeah.
And we could see their faces.
The emotion on
like
the kids' faces.
Horrified.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were going to bring up that one where the kids have to go to summer school.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want to talk about that one?
I feel like that one also just, it was a good idea that just was executed poorly. And again, like, it was the one thing we could go on and on about. Here's what you need to do to fix this pose or fix the lighting or fix the composition, but we couldn't get past that what they were illustrating. We couldn't even understand what was happening in that illustration.
Just to describe it to viewers, basically, first off, it was drawn really, really well. The color is really, really good. The rendering is really, really good. It's a very professional looking image. And what you're seeing is a zoomed in to the front of the class with the chalkboard, and on the chalkboard it says "Welcome to Summer School," and then there's one kid coming in and he's holding onto a skateboard, and the other one they're both kind of looking like, "Oh, what do we do?" And they're sneaking. And what we found out from the artist is that the artist was saying that they were trying to sneak out of summer school, but the teacher, you can barely see this teacher in the frame, who is going to catch them and stop them from sneaking out of summer school.
Right.
So
they're sneaking out facing the teacher, and the teacher, you could see the teacher's belly and maybe their hands, and they're like facing the teacher. And so I just could not like decipher what the moment was that I was seeing. These kids, like, what is happening?
Well, let me ask you this. Did it ever bother you guys when you watch a movie and someone's sneaking out or hiding, and you can tell from the angle that the person that could catch them could easily see them sneaking out?
Right.
Oh my gosh. Right. I hate that.
Right. Yeah. Like you think they would angle the camera in such a way, or the POV would be in such a way that it really shows that they're hiding. But right. It's like, yeah. Yeah, they could totally see your head above the desk,
right, exactly,
as you're crawling. Like,
that's what to me is happening in this anybody. One. That's what's happening in this one, because the teacher can easily see him, and it seems like they would have easily seen the teacher before trying to sneak out. And the ideas mm-hmm. that we came up with were, one, show from outside the classroom the kids, you know, trying to sneak out through the door or somewhere, not at the front of the class, the you know, mm-hmm. it was weird. It just didn't work.
Yeah. So again, this is another example of the idea is great. These kids have to go to summer school and the rest of the family, like her idea too. Was it her or he? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Anyways, the idea was that they had to go to summer school while the family's going on vacation and they're trying to sneak out so they could join the family. And it just wasn't coming across in that illustration. And so we went back to the thing where if that's the idea, you either show before or you show after, you don't show during.
Right.
And the before would be the family station wagon or Suburban or whatever, the minivan, whatever it is that families drive these days, is out in front of the school. It's got inner tubes tied to the top. It's got a cooler. You know, the dog's head is hanging out. There's kids with
paneling pool noodles on the station wagon.
Yeah. There's pool noodles. There's all these little hints saying this is clearly a vehicle that is going somewhere fun, right? And it's parked outside the school, and the door's open, and there's a kid getting dropped off to go to summer school. That tells everything you need to know, and it gets the point across, you know. And then you could come up with the rest, like, he's going to sneak out maybe, or he's just going to be stuck there and, you know, life stinks for him. The other thing is, and this doesn't play well to the theme, like summer vacation ruined, but if you wanted to show the kids sneaking out, you again show the outside of the class door and you see just enough information that's like the worst class ever. Like the chalkboard has something written on it that's like, you know, the most boring math or the most boring
equation,
like, chemistry or something, right? You know, there's fun math and there's fun chemistry. Well, you're going to do the most boring version of that. And you're going to show these two like crawling out while the teacher's, distracted by something. Like maybe there's a skeleton with a baseball hat and sunglasses on in the desk. And they snuck, you know, the teacher thinks that he's teaching the skeleton and that's the actual student or something. I don't know, like there's a hundred different ways you could do it, but showing the kids you know, so that would show the kids having snuck out and they've fooled the teacher, but showing them right in the middle about to get caught or something, it just wasn't coming across. Yeah. So
can I share a super embarrassing story?
Mm-hmm.
It's about me. Okay. So it's the only thing I'm thinking of as you guys are doing this critique. I just went over this story with my son, so it's kind of fresh. We were talking, the topic was when you get caught in a lie. That was the topic. My son asked me if I've ever been caught in a lie, and I was like, well, yeah, and this is the story that I told him. So in sixth grade, for some reason, that was the age we started kind of experimenting with cutting class and doing a little minor deviant behaviors, you know, and
right.
me and this group of boys. And so we would come back from the lunchroom for lunch, and we would, instead of going to class, we would hide in the bathroom or in the janitor closet, like wherever we could hide. And we just thought it was so funny, as you know, a group of three or four of us. And how we would sneak back in to the classroom, because that was when you're not switching classes every hour like you do in junior high.
Right.
You're just in one classroom all day. And so there's a pencil sharpener right next to the door. And we would wait for an opportune time and just jump into the classroom, jam a pencil into the pencil sharpener, and look like we were just there sharpening our pencil and walk back to your desk. Well, so the first thing you got...
So you had to bring a pencil with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You had planning. Yeah, you had to have a pencil.
Okay.
You didn't have the pencil. So the first three guys or two guys, whatever, jump, do the little move, and they get in. And then I'm last. I'm just sitting there in the bathroom. Like, it's been an hour since people have been back for lunch or whatever. And I'm waiting for my moment. And I get my running start and I jump, and the teacher just turns around. All of a sudden, I'm coming through the door in the air, landing at the pencil sharpener, jam the pencil in, and I'm doing it like, you know, doing the pencil sharpener round and round, yang, 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 you know, grinding the wood down. And I turn around, and the teacher's just totally just locked eyes on me, like just standing there, like, what an idiot. She's like, all, you know, all of a sudden quizzing me, takes me out to the hallway, and I'm like, no, I've been in class the whole time. And that was the lie that I would not admit it for like an hour. She wouldn't let me come back in the classroom until I admitted it. It took like an hour before I really came to terms with it. I'm like, I'm not getting out of this
one. Not you, Lee.
So when you say that it's not realistic that somebody would sneak right in front of the teacher, mm-hmm. guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged. Okay, well, again, that
today, Lee.
Right.
Sorry. It's not a good illustration, by the way, to sneak like that.
But if that was the story that I wanted to tell and I had one illustration to show it, it would be, I probably wouldn't show like my face smashing into the belly of the teacher. I would probably show a kid thinking they're getting away, but the teacher is obviously right there and they don't see the teacher yet.
Totally. Yeah. Know? No, I agree with like that.
That would be the way to do it. Okay, this was fun. Let's do, before we close it out, we each get, let's try this where we have a prompt and we each say how we would do it, just to like practice what we preach. Okay.
Will is freaking out right now.
I'll go first since I'm putting everybody on the spot.
I get to come up with a concept.
Now Jake's already throwing it out there.
It's already, the concept is already superstitions.
Oh.
So we're going to give our SVS people, our bunnies, a little head start here by saying what we would do. All right.
Okay.
So for me, superstition.
No, Jake's idea. Go ahead. I got to think of what I would do. I don't know what I would do for that.
You don't even have to say what you would do. Just tell me your thought process to get where you want to go. Okay. So what do I want to draw? I want to draw maybe. Maybe what I want to draw is, okay, I got my idea. This is good. I'm going humorous, but it's also in my wheelhouse of what I'm good at drawing. Okay, so there is a giant kaiju or Godzilla, and he's destroying a city, and he's smashing things and everything, right? You could see that the city's destroyed. There's a huge like earthquake or something that's happened, and there's this gaping like crack in the ground, and he's obviously avoiding stepping on the crack because he doesn't want to break his mother's back. That's my initial idea. That's what I'm thinking. Okay, so the way that I got there was, well, what's a superstition that I still like find myself doing? And I avoid cracks. There's a crack in the sidewalk. I will avoid it. Like, I'll actually take a shorter step or a longer step. Will, you've probably seen me do that as we've walked to lunch.
Yeah. And now, that's funny.
So that's one of my stupid things that I still do. My mom, she, you know, bless her heart, she passed away this year. So, but she did not die of a broken back because I never stepped on a crack.
Do you remember the movie As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson?
Yeah,
I never saw that one. Oh, wait, no. That's the one where he's dating a woman on Long Island.
Yeah, Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
And one of the funniest parts is that was one of his superstitions. So he would always, like, as he was walked to the restaurant or something in New York, he would avoid cracks. And then he was taking care of this little dog, like a little Yorkie type dog, but it wasn't a Yorkie.
Yeah.
And then the Yorkie started doing it with him because he hated the dog at first, but then he saw the dog jumping over cracks with him, and it totally endeared him to the dog. He was like, oh, we're gonna be friends now.
Yes. That's amazing that you remember that detail.
Yeah,
I remember from the movie, but I don't remember that detail.
I love that part. Okay, so here's mine.
Anyway, so yeah, let's hear yours.
The don't break a mirror thing. Mm-hmm. So I would do a witch, kind of like I'm channeling the witch from Bugs Bunny. You look hideous. It's from way back. Yeah. You know that witch with the big face, big mouth. And I picture her in a really athletic move, trying to catch a mirror that has fallen in some way. So she is desperate to, it's in mid-flight to catch this mirror before it hits the ground. That's what came to mind.
Okay. Like, how'd you get there with that one?
I thought of the superstition first. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, you know, mirror falling. At first I thought mirror falling off of some sort of a truck or some kind of a, I didn't know where the mirror was coming from. But then I thought, in order to contextualize it to where you could understand the superstition involved and not just any mirror breaking, maybe use a witch, because witches are probably fall more into superstitions, you know, probably believe in superstitions more than anybody else, I would think.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that's kind of how I got there.
Okay.
But I haven't, without drawing, I mean, I'm like, it's just an idea. It's a solution fragment.
Right, right.
Really there.
You might sit down to draw and realize you just can't find the illustration in that idea and move on to something else.
Maybe. But I do have this theory, though, that when you're given an open-ended assignment, like superstition, when it's that open, the tendency is that when the going gets tough to switch to another one. And I see students just constantly switching because, and I really feel like it's actually better practice to pick one and solve it. Even if you can't make it turn out, stick with it. Because when you get an assignment, you can't just switch to a different assignment.
That's right. Why taking classes is better than just doing your own illustrations, because I'm kind of half and half. Sometimes I want to do a portfolio piece, and if, you know, I'd like to be able to change it to get what I want if it's not going the way. But you got to be able to pull something off if you're given that. For me on this one, I don't know which one I would do, but right when I hear the topic, I know that one's, I love research. I kind of geek out about stuff, and I would probably use it as a starting point to research superstitions that I don't understand or that I don't know about yet, like from different countries and different settings and all that. I mean, I have like probably five superstitions that I know of, you know, that's like the ladder and the mirror and the throwing salt over your shoulder. You know, there's just a handful of these kind of really known ones, which can be fun. I mean, what you're talking about is kind of making a twist on a very, very known superstition, which is super fun. But I would geek out about, like, you know, is there, I remember hearing one time that you should never bring a broom from your old house to a new house if you move. You didn't do that, did you, Jake?
I did.
Wow. Oh, that's super bad luck. You got to get rid of that. Got it. Okay.
We brought our old brooms, but we got a new one too.
No, that's,
well, you got 50% bad luck. Then you got to get rid of that old broom. You should never give a knife as a present unless you want to sever that friendship. There's all these like interesting ones, and it's topics I haven't explored before, and so that's what I would geek out on. But I'm not sure what I would do.
I think that broom superstition was made up by broom companies. We got to sell more brooms.
No broom. Brooms. Yeah, because a broom is a one-time item, right? A broom lasts forever, so they needed some way of replacing the broom. Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so I like that. Yeah, I thought of another idea that I would do, maybe better than my first one, but and then we'll close out with this, unless you guys have anything else to say. You have a guy, and he's getting chased by raptors or something. Zombies. It's definitely like an intense situation where he is running for his life and he's stopping. He sees a penny on the ground and he's stopping to pick up the penny because there's an old superstition. Find a penny, pick it up all day long. You'll have good luck.
I like that.
Okay. That might even be better. All right. I just want to run through the list really quick, just to close us out. So number one, know your audience and do your homework. Who is asking for this illustration? What do they want from it? And that might help inform exactly how you might do it. Number two, too much information. Don't put so much information in there that it's hard to decipher what's going on. And going along with that, don't put so much information that the content becomes inappropriate. All right. And I might add, I thought of this at the time, but I didn't say it, but also don't have too less information. Mm. Like that kind of goes with the kids trying to sneak out of the class where there just wasn't enough information to adequately tell what's going on. So have just the right amount of information. unnatural physics, or in other words, draw something that plays to your strengths, or find the moment in your idea where you know you can adequately draw it well. And from there, we kind of segued into tell the moment before or tell the moment after. You don't have to tell the story through the actual moment that's happening. Sometimes telling before and after is makes for a better illustration. Anyway, do the math. So if a character in your story is in a situation where it's obvious they wouldn't be in there because they didn't do the math. For the example Will gave was the kid dressed up ready to play t-ball, but he's got two casts on. He wouldn't have gone that far. He wouldn't have dressed up to play t-ball with the two casts on. So do the math for your characters and tell the story in a way that makes sense. Inadvertently telling a different story. So make sure that you are focused in enough that you're telling the story that you want to tell and not having so much information or positioning characters and composition in a way that another story is being told and not the one that you intended to tell. And then finally, using the right POV, the right point of view, and showing that, finding the right angle that shows the expressions of the characters or shows the situation in a way that it will help tell the story.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I think that's it for us today. Good one, guys. Good topic, Will. I like that.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. And 3-Point Perspective is made possible by svslearn.com, where becoming a great illustrator starts. Your hosts have been Will Terry. You can see his stuff at willterry.com. That's his website address. His portfolio is there. Also, follow him on Instagram at willterryart. Lee White has joined us today, as he has always. Thanks for joining us today, Lee.
Sure.
You can find his work at leewhiteillustration.com and on Instagram at leewhiteillo. And I am Jake Parker. My website is mrjakeparker.com and my Instagram account is at Jake Parker on Instagram. Podcast is edited by Alex Sugg, and that is Sugg with two G's. And you can find his work or contact him through his website, alexsugg.com. And the podcast is produced by Tanner Garlick, and you can find his work at tannergarlickart.com. So if you like this episode, please share it around. Please subscribe to us on whatever podcasting service you use to listen to podcasts. That way you don't ever miss an episode. And wherever you do subscribe, please leave a review. We'd love to know what you think about the podcast. And if you're wanting to join in on this particular discussion, we've got a forum thread going on this discussion over at svslearn.com, where we posted this episode and people are commenting and sharing their thoughts about how they come up with ideas. So that's it for today. We appreciate you guys listening, and we will talk to you guys next time. Bye.